Welcome back to Talking Talmud. I'm Ann Gordon here with my friend and chavruta Yerdana Azband. Our daf of the day, Masachet Bava Metzia, daf Chet, page 8. Okay, we're still working off of the first Mishnah in the Masachet. And we have here a statement about, really a good amount of this daf is about other kinds of kinyanim, formal acts of acquisition. Amar Rami Bar Chama, Zot Omer Tamagbiya Metzia Lechaviro, Kana Chaviro. Rami Bar Chama says that in the event that one does the act of acquisition, which is lifting up a found item, meaning you find something, you pick it up, and you do so on behalf of somebody else, right? You say, I'm hereby acquiring this for you, Yerdana, right? But I'm the one doing the act of acquisition. The other person actually does acquire it so that the ownership would then be yours, even though I'm the one who did the physical lifting. The Israel Kadaitach Lokana Chaviro, because, and then Rami Bar Chama is going to come and explain this, right? Because maybe you would think that if you lift that item, right, then the other person isn't going to acquire it. That's logical, right? And especially if you think back to that Mishnah, right, where we're talking about one item that is lifted by two different people, each for themselves, and it hasn't worked that they should. That they should be able to acquire it against the other person, right? So here, why would you necessarily think that you could acquire it on behalf of somebody else? Tiasen zok misha munachat al gabe karka, v'zok misha munachat al gabe karka. Right. So think about it this way: if that same garment or the talit, right, that each one of them is holding, so treat it as if it's lying on the ground, and not that they're holding it up in the air, right? And then you just relate to it as something that is lying on the ground. And neither of them would have taken possession of it. Ella loves Shmamina. But really, we're going to say it's going to be, we're not going to conclude that way. Why? We're going to say, excuse me, because, right, this, let's say in the case of the Mishnah with the two people, each one grabbing half of it, and you say you're going to leave it lying on the ground. So now it's just on the ground. Neither of them has really picked it up and neither of them has acquired it. And then somebody else, let's say, sneaks in and grabs it. That's going to be his, right? The new guy. But if we say that in this case where you're actually picking up the item, like it's just one person picking it up. There's no contention that it belongs to somebody else. The person lifting it, in fact, says, I'm, you know, acquiring it on behalf of a third party. Well, then don't we say that that's going to be acceptable? That's going to work. Amar Rava Leolam Emalach Hamagbia Metzia LeChaviro Lo Kana Chaviro. So Rava says, no, it doesn't work that way. That's not a proof. Because the same way that you could say, oh, you're coming to do that act of acquisition, and you picked up that found item, and you, lo and behold, take possession of it, but not for yourself, but for somebody else. Rava says, I could just as easily say that that does not work as a formal act of acquisition, the same way that you're giving me this line, basically. I mean, he doesn't say it that rudely, but that, in fact, it works. V'hacha hainu tama, what's the reason? Meaning, what's the reason that this is all interwoven with the case of the two who each grab onto half of one item. Excuse me, right? Like each of the two acquires part of that garment. How so? Because again, migo, and this is a key concept, we're going to explain it a bit more afterwards. Migo de zachi lanafshe, zachi nami lechavre. The rationale is like this. Since each of the parties in this claim, right, can acquire part of the garment for themselves, each one for himself, so by the same token, he can acquire the other part for somebody else, right? Migo de zachi lenafshe, the same way that he can take possession or merit it for himself, he could merit it for someone else. Someone else, theoretically, in fact, you could do it on behalf of the person who's fighting you for this garment, but let's leave that aside for the moment. Teda, and Rava goes on, right? Teda she ilu amar l'shulcho tsei ugnov li v'ganav patur. Let's say somebody says, you know, he goes, he finds something, he acquires it for himself. He could acquire it for somebody else. That's fine. But if you say to somebody else, to a shaliach, to an agent, to a messenger, go out and steal for me, and then that agent goes and steals, then the person who sent him to go steal is exempt. He doesn't have to pay, right? Because we have this concept that we've talked about in the past, that you can't have an agency. You can't have a representative go do a sin for you. You can only do a sin if you decide to go do the sin. The person telling you to go sin isn't culpable, only the person who actually sinned. However, if you're talking about two people together who are working in concert to steal, then they're both going to be liable. My tama, love mishum damrin and migod dezachin and afshe zachinam lechavre. Are they both going to be liable because of the rationale that the same way that one could acquire something for themselves, they could acquire it for their other friend? I mean, for another party? So the Gemara concludes, Shmamina, learn from this that in fact that's how, that yes, like the same way that if somebody's going to go steal something together with another party, and it's on behalf of the people who are doing the stealing, and that's going to work, right? That counts as taking possession on behalf of somebody else. So it's a kind of a coming in a backwards kind of sneaky kind of way to establish the principle. But at the end of the day, we establish this principle that we say, the moment that a person can acquire something for himself, he can also acquire it for somebody else. Okay, I want to just, one very quick word on this word migo. Migo just literally means mitoch, from the fact that, right? Since is the simplest way to explain it, to translate it. And we're going to see this migo as a concept. Since one thing, therefore another thing. We're going to see that come up a lot and in a lot of different ways. But for now, we'll leave it here as that.
Yeah, we've seen migo before. It has come up, but I don't think we've seen it in quite a while, actually.
Right, that's true. But I feel like we're now in Bav Metzia. Like, there's plenty of migo here to go around.
Yes. Okay, I'm going to move on to something on Amud Bet, and we start to get into issues here about Kenyan. And one of the things that comes up in discussion, I'm sort of starting in the middle of a discussion, is that if somebody takes hold of an animal, like let's say you find an animal, right? Animal's wandering around, and you take hold of its bridle, that does not constitute a kinyan. Itmar Nami. So it says, it was also been said, Amar Rabbi Chelbo, Amar Rav Huna. Rabbi Chelbo said of the name Rav Huna, Mosera. Right? When we talk about the, you know, somebody taking hold of an animal's bridle, mechavero kana, if he does it, you know, from his fellow, he acquires it. B'mitzi'ah u'b'nichnisei hager lo kani. But if he does it to acquire a found object or to take possession of a ger who died without any, convert who died without any heirs, right, he does not acquire. So this is a very, very interesting statement of Rav Chelbo, because usually the way you make a kinyan is kind of like standard. And here, Rav Chelbo is basically making a distinction here where he's saying that when it comes to, you know, the bridle, if you're like buying an animal from somebody and you take hold of it, right, if you take hold of the mosera, okay, so then you made a kinyan. But if you're taking hold of it because you find a wandering animal, or this is the way you're trying to acquire a convert, a dead convert without heirs, animal, then it would not actually be considered, a kinyan. So the Gemara needs to go back to that there's a distinction between finding, acquiring, making a kinyan on a found animal, and one that actually belongs to somebody else, okay? That, in other words, just a random found animal where the owner is not around, and you don't know who the owner is, or who, if there was an owner, that kinyan is different, okay, than making the kinyan for an animal that you know already belongs to somebody. And to do this, first the Gemara is going to do it by trying to understand what does the word mosera mean? My lashon mosera, right? What's the etymology of the word mosera? In other words, because this is a word that's in Aramaic, so they want to understand what it is in Hebrew. Rabba, Rabba says, Idi asparali. Idi explained it to me. Ka'adam amoser davar l'chaveiro. Right? So it's when we talk about transferring an animal to the purchaser, the seller hands him the bridle just as a person transfers, right, moser, an object to his fellow. So that's why it's called a mosera, because the bridle is kind of the object that would be used to show transference of possession in a sale, right? When a seller wants to give his animal to the buyer, it's done through the mosera. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to apply this to Rav Huna. Bishlama mechaveiro kani. So it's understandable from one's fellow that one acquires the animal when you take hold of the bridle, to come maser lechaveiro, because the fellow, right, the chaver, transfers it, is moser the animal to him when he gives him the bridle. Ela b'mitziyah u'b'nichnesei hager. But when we talk about a found animal, okay, or we talk about when we talk about a found animal, or we talk about the property of the ger, ma'ika masar le delikne, right? So who transfers the animal to him so he can acquire it? In other words, the idea is that this mosera, it works when one person is doing the transferring to the other person. But these cases of a found animal or a ger who passed away and doesn't have heirs, there's no one doing the transferring to the person who's now going to possess the animal. And so therefore, that's why, you know, Rav Huna makes this distinction that the Rabbi Chelbel quotes here, that that it's, you don't acquire it by that way with the mosera. So I think this is a very interesting passage, because I don't know, Anne, that I've seen where sort of a halachic discussion is dependent on the etymology of a word. Like, that's what's very interesting about this passage, right? That they have this word, the mosera, right? They want to understand where it comes from. Rabba gives this explanation. And based on the origin of the word, it helps an understanding with a halachic statement that somebody makes. I don't feel like we've seen that yet. And that's why it really stood out for me on this staff.
That's interesting. I think that's a valid point. What was interesting to me was the shift in description of kinyanim, right? Like that we went through different, not only the part that we each spoke about, but the others on the daf as well. First, we're going to talk about Hagbah taking possession that way. Now we're going to talk about Masira taking possession that way, right? Like there's the idea of a person taking possession is all the same. And the way one takes possession is quite different. There are several different ways that that can happen.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think we're going to see, kinyan is going to start to come up a little more. I mean, I think we were introduced to the concept of kinyan primarily actually when we did kedushin, right? Because we know that that ceremony is actually an act of kinyan. And here we're sort of making a distinction that, you know, depending on who you're making the kinyan from, or sort of like how that object is getting transferred to you, can impact the validity of the kinyan itself, or even how the kinyan is actually done.
Right, exactly.
Well, that's our daf discussion for the day. Rank us, review us on all major podcasts. Thank you to Rabbi Michelle Farber for hosting us on the Hadron website. Let us know what you thought about this daf on our Talking Talmud Facebook page. And until tomorrow, go and learn.